After 25 years in corporates, I'm currently taking time off work to reflect, reinvent, and rejuvenate. This sabbatical was 10 years in the making after deciding that I didn't want to go through another brutal company restructure. I'm pursuing my own interests and experimenting with how I want to spend my life in the future. Welcome to the new series of Unchange podcasts. In this next couple of episodes, I'll be talking to people who have taken breaks from work for various reasons. I want to understand why they did it, what they did on their breaks, and what they learned from the experience. My guest today is Hermine Oos. She has 20 years' experience in corporate commercial advisory capacity in the mining industry, where she has provided legal counsel to various mining houses. She also serves on boards and is a receiver of many accolades. Welcome in the studio, Hermine. Nice to see you.
Thanks, Pietru. Thanks very much for the invitation to be part of this journey of yours, which I'm sure you're very excited about. I didn't realize that you'd spent 25 years already in corporate life. So this must be quite a bit of a change journey for yourself.
I can't actually believe that I'm not in the corporate office at this moment. It's been interesting. It's been an interesting journey for the first 7 months of this year. But that's my story. I'm much more interested in your story today. So you said that you had also taken a sabbatical or sabbaticals. How did you know that you needed to take one, and why did you take a sabbatical?
I think it started with two of my friends. We were four close friends at University of Stellenbosch, where we studied law. And two of my friends, after we graduated in 1994, took a gap year. And I thought this was so romantic and exhilarating to be able to go to London at the age of 22. So they worked for about 8 months, and then they traveled Europe for 4 months with the money that they earned whilst working, you know, in the first period of the break. My father, however, was much more strict, and he said, look, I paid for you. Nowadays, I think that, you know, it is quite a thing if parents can pay for their children all the way through. So my dad paid for us. We went to hostel, and it was a fantastic experience altogether. But once the 5 years was over, my dad said, look, you need to start working now. Which was such a good lesson, I must say. But in retrospect, when I reached the age of, I think it was about 46, 47, I'm jumping ahead now, I'd really participated in quite a number of M&A transactions at the first two companies that I worked for in mining. And M&A is really sort of quite time-driven. You work long hours to get these transactions completed. And I thought back about that period in time, and I also wanted to have that experience of, you know, time off and travel, etc. So it also started a while before I actually embarked on the journey. So I think I mentioned to you that I took my break in 2017, 2018, thereabouts. But it started earlier by having a conversation with my then employer, Rio Tinto, which I must say they were you know, willing to hear me out on this idea of taking a 6 month break. In the end, what happened is that we moved to Cape Town after having stayed in Johannesburg for about 13 years. My husband got a new role. I worked for Rio Tinto still out of Cape Town. But the role sort of came to a natural end after we finished a last sort of sale transaction. And I thought, well, you know, I actually want to take more than just 6 months. So it all worked out very well. We parted on friendly terms. And yeah, I was also at the beginning of a very exciting journey as you are now embarking on. Yes, the main aim was to do travel, but also I think for me to do things that I did not have time to do whilst working in the corporate world. So I think the corporate world is a beast of its own. It takes up a lot of your energy, but also a lot of your mind space. So once you have that freedom to really think what it is you want to do with your time, I filled up my diary quite quickly with other activities, which some of them might not sound that exhilarating, but it's stuff that you don't get around to while you're in the corporate world. So I'll pause there before getting into the detail of what I did with my time. I'm not sure whether you want to steer me in another direction.
No, that's exactly where I want to go. It's so interesting what you're saying about corporate taking up your entire time. It almost takes up your entire being. You actually become this corporate person, this complete corporate animal, and your whole life revolves around corporates and all of the deadlines that that brings with it. And it's almost as if your whole personality and self-worth, everything gets tangled into everything that happens at corporate. So I fully understand how difficult or how strange it is to have time to yourself, you know, and to try and disentangle mm-hmm. yourself from that sort of schedule. It's exhilarating when you're in it. But it's almost like you're trapped in this way of being. Okay, you're trapped in that way of being. And yeah, for me, I just didn't want to be in that way of being anymore. I wanted to be in the world in a different way. That's it. So before we get into what you actually did in your sabbatical, so obviously you had an idea, you wanted to take a sabbatical or a break. So you must have thought, you had all of these ideas and fantasies about what the sabbatical was going to be. Okay, which might have been a little bit different to what actually happened in the end. So what did you think it was going to be like before you started going into the sabbatical?
I thought it would be an experience that would broaden my perspective. And I was already at that point in time, I remember doing a short course at Gibbs about emotional intelligence. I think these subjects start becoming relevant in your middle 40s, you know, once you've reached a certain trajectory in your career, you start thinking about these topics. And as I said, I did this course, and one of the senior leaders in Rio Tinto acted as a mentor to me. It was such an exhilarating experience for me to do that. And he was a person that I worked with closely at Rossing in Namibia. He came out to work for a certain period of time in Africa and then went back to Australia, which I think is motherland for home base for Rio Tinto. But it was a wonderful experience to interact with him. And he also told me that he started so early in his career. I think he mentioned something at the age of 16. And we had this conversation already at that stage about doing something more meaningful with your time. So I think, yes, I wanted to do the travel bit, as I mentioned to you at the beginning. But I also wanted to do something more meaningful with my life. I was experiencing an emptiness sometimes. Once you've completed certain transactions, you've received recognition in your career, it's all good and well, but then you also start realizing life is not only about that. I think I might have mentioned to you that my mother also passed away during this period. So it was a time of reflection, and you know, my dad didn't cope too well at the beginning being on his own. So all of that just came together. So I think I realized that I would spend quite a bit of time trying to improve myself, trying to broaden my vision as to what it is I want to leave behind almost as a legacy, not only this corporate person having, you know, excelled in the business world, but is there something else to add in? Did it turn out 100% like that? No. as we get into the detail, unfortunately not. It sounds very romantic, and I did do a lot of planning around it, but it did not pan out 100% as I thought it would.
So did you have to leave your employer? They didn't give you time off. You had to actually leave. You had to resign and go.
But Pietro, as I said before, it was my choice. Mm-hmm. As I started thinking about this, when I was still in the Johannesburg office, I had a conversation with one of my leaders in London. There was definitely some appreciation for what I wanted to do. But then 2 years later, when we had come to the end of another big transaction, I thought this is also the right time for me to step mm-hmm. away. It was a logical time to exit. So left on good terms, still have a lot of friends at Rio. So it was my decision to make something more of this exercise, not only take a quick break. So in the end, that worked well for me. I did an MBA when I was in my late 20s, and I did the part-time study, and it was a terrible choice. I said to my husband, it's so difficult when you try and do something you know, you study, but you also work. So for me, to have taken a sabbatical and not having that work obligation or thought in the back of my mind was the best thing for me to do.
You sort of had an idea you wanted to do it, and then it took about 2 years until the opportunity presented itself for you to be able to leave. So did you do some planning about how you would leave and getting people ready for you exiting? Did you have any of that sort of luxury?
Yes, no. Also to show the good relationship with my employer, I remember that I worked with the business development colleagues in London quite closely, and it was around my birthday that this happened, and we went for a skydiving exercise, my husband and I, and my business development colleague in London who knew that I was planning the sabbatical and the exit and was working with me to make sure there was a good handover, said, no, definitely midlife crisis, because if she's going for skydiving, we can see where this person's head is. So yes, the exit was done. I think I worked about a 5 or 6 month notice period, because they all knew long before I was going to go, this is what's going to happen. So it was a fantastic handover process to another person in my team in Australia. So all went well. And I think that that's also great if you've got that sort of entry almost into your sabbatical of leaving the corporate world in such a organized fashion and everybody wishes you well, you're off to a good start.
Yeah, definitely. So you've made the decision, you've done your planning, you've done your handover, and you've left. Okay, so how was the first couple of days after you've left?
It's quite an adjustment, can I say, in the sense that you and I just spoke about corporate life now. If you've worked your entire life, which I did up until that stage, it's difficult to adjust that quickly, because you in a routine. You know, you get up, you would know every day, and you get to the office at a certain time, and the day just passes by with meetings and all things to do. And now, I mean, my husband does the same thing, so he would leave for his work and I would be at home. And yes, it is an adjustment at the beginning, because I follow Gretchen Rubin on LinkedIn and all kinds of social media, and she's written a well-known book about the Happiness Project, but she's also written quite a bit about loneliness, different types of loneliness. And there's one type of loneliness that she describes as new situation loneliness. And this was what I was experiencing, because the other people carried on. All my friends worked. Other people carried on with their day jobs and their normal routine. Suddenly you had a lot of free time. Yes, you've got planned activities, but it does not necessarily fill up your entire day. So other people can't just take off at 10 in the morning and go for coffee. So yeah, it was an adjustment, but I soon got into a routine as to how to fill my day.
Yeah, I remember the first, within the first 2 weeks that I'd left, I went to watch a movie at 10:45 in the morning, and then I went and ate carrot cake afterwards. I was like, and this was like a Tuesday morning.
The only one doing that.
And, and it was so strange, you know, because you, and especially those first couple of days, you're like, you're constantly feeling like you should be doing something. I should be doing something somewhere. But you get used to it, you know, but it's quite an adjustment. And like you say, I mean, everybody else's life carries on. They're still working and all of that. So, yeah, it felt surreal for the first couple of days, until you get into your sabbatical routine. I was very adamant that I would have a routine. Okay, I wasn't going to... I was still going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I was going to do my exercise, because it wasn't supposed to be a holiday. It was supposed to be a time to think and reflect and do my own projects, you know, and do the things that I'm passionate about. So then you have to find a way to fit all that stuff in as well. Although my fantasy in the beginning was just to sleep for the first month.
Right.
How did catch that up work on out? Sleep. I got a lot of sleep. And I really enjoyed my afternoon naps. I still enjoy my afternoon naps. That will stay a part of my routine, I think, into the future. So you get the first couple of weeks out of the way, you sort of feel like you should be doing something the whole time. But then how did you actually spend the time? You had a plan. Did you stick to the plan, or was it quite different to what you had envisioned?
Yeah. Look, I obviously had a couple of activities at the back of my mind when I started planning this, and travel was going to be quite a big part of that. I also wanted to do things that I thought would enrich my experience of life in general. As I said, I think I am a bit of a perfectionist. My husband sometimes says I'm a bit, if I'm focused on something, I do that to the best of my ability, but then to the exclusion of everything else. So it's a 100% game. It's not sort of 50-50 at all for me. So there's just normal things that I also wanted to do with my time. Volunteering was an important thing because I thought to myself, this discussion that I had with a colleague of Rio that I mentioned to you when I did the emotional intelligence course at KIPPS already created that idea that it's not all about me. It's not all about what I can achieve on my own. It's also about giving back. And then also reading. I did quite a bit of reading that might also sound very simplistic, but reading about meaningfulness and just trying to sort of broaden my perspective on what I wanted to do with my life. And there's a lot of material out there, that podcasts that are so useful nowadays. It's just wonderful, all the material that you can plug into. And then I think I mentioned to you, I'll get into some of the detail now. I also did a bit of consulting work. Unfortunately, that is also part of my personality. I was approached 3 months into the sabbatical by Rossing, and there was a smallish exercise to do, which I thought it was a wonderful accolade for me that these colleagues reached out to me and said, look, can you help us with this specific exercise? And so I did that as well. I did a bit of consulting work, which was also good. I think that quick turn off of not doing any work, it is also good to keep your mind sort of practicing. And then exercise and looking after my health. There were some health issues that I wanted to give attention to. So that was all in the plan, and that I all got around to. So travel, I'm not sure whether you want to listen to the detail, but
yes,
now,
yes, I do. I want to know where did you go and what did you learn from the experience? Yeah. I think everybody should travel, yeah.
now that I look back at what I did, I went through some of my notes again just to refresh my memory. I'm actually quite amazed that I was so, adventurous to do this. So I went with a group tour because I always wanted to tour India. When I worked for De Beers, we were lucky enough to travel to India. There was a project there in the exploration department, and I got to visit some of the colleagues there during my stint in business development. And I just thought this was a magical place. And one of the exploration managers sent me on a train trip with a travel a guide to see the Taj Mahal. And that just blew me away. So I've got a photo here on my notice board sitting on that little bench where Lady Diana also sat. I think this was in 2007. And it was just mesmerizing, these old temples that you find in India. And so that was definitely on my bucket list. So I booked a tour through a company called Wild Frontiers. They're quite well known. And went with a group of people. I think we were about 1820, thereabouts, mostly people from the UK. And we traveled what they call the Golden Triangle area in India. So that is, if you've got the shape of a triangle in your mind, at the top sits Delhi, right bottom Agra, where you'll find the Taj Mahal, and then left bottom Jaipur, which is the pink city. So this tour was called the Temple and Fort Tour, Temples and Fort Tours of India, and we just saw magical places. Jaipur, for example, is called the Pink City. It's got a temple called the Palace of Winds. You can go and Google it. It is absolutely amazing. I think I took about 1,800 photographs during this two-week trip, and some of my photographs was posted on the Wild Frontiers database because I was just absolutely blown away with majestic sites that we visited. So highly recommended, although I think if you go and Google travel to India, you get the 50%, people falling into a category that will be like me, totally ecstatic, and you will have 50% of people saying, never again, because it's not easy travel. We went to France this past June, my husband and I, and you know, it's beautiful there, and you've got side cafes, and you've got your glass of wine, and whereas in India, you will be going to a beautiful fort or a temple, and then just outside, there's absolute poverty, you know, people sitting, begging. Maybe because we also see some of that in South Africa, to me it was not such a big contrast, but I think some European visitors might find it perhaps a bit difficult. But wonderful experience. Yeah, the people that I met on the tour also made quite a number of friends. And then also just, I'm not sure whether you've seen this movie, The Best Marigold Hotel.
Yes,
we stayed there one evening at this hotel. So it was a trip that was tailor-made around old historic sites. It's not a trip that takes you to all the glamorous places necessarily, but old historic sites. So if you are interested in history, you learn quite a bit. Our tour guide was also fantastic in providing us with this information. And then may I just jump forward and say, how ironic is it? Because I know that you're going to ask me, you know, what did you do after your sabbatical? I went back to corporate world and I joined the third company that I worked for in the mining world, and it is an Indian company.
Mm-hmm.
It's so strange that I did this tour in India, and I spoke to many of my colleagues at Vedanta, and not a lot of them had toured these places where I had been. They always say you're not a tourist in your own country. So yes, quite a coincidence that I would end up working for an Indian mining company. And then, as I said, just a bit more detail, the volunteering bit is I joined a group of people in the hometown where I live, Stellenbosch, that do work with children after school that do not necessarily have support at home when they get home after school, to help them with their homework. Reading is especially a challenge. People do not sit with young children and help them. They do not learn to read properly at an early stage. So again, a wonderful experience for me. We each had a child dedicated to us for care and development. So I did that for a year, went on a weekly basis after school and sat with the little girl that I sort of took care of. So a wonderful, enriching experience. And now I'm actually on the board of the mother company that does all of these outreaches in the Stellenbosch community. So a different role from what I did in 2017, 2018, but also a wonderful experience for me to know that I think you get so caught up in what you do. People have got this idea of Stellenbosch. It's only rich people that live here, and it's a very affluent town. But there's a lot of communities in Stellenbosch that do not reflect that. And it just opened my eyes again to realize when I go to bed in the evenings, not everybody has the same surroundings or food available to them. So a wonderful opportunity to do that. And then thirdly, as I said, I did a Cape Wine Master's course also, because grew up in Stellenbosch, and I thought to myself, yes, I know a lot about wine. My father was also in the wine industry, but I didn't know a lot about, you know, grapes and wine making. And here I am in this beautiful town with all of these vineyards surrounding us when we drive around. I know the wine, but the end product, but I don't really know what happens from the vineyard to the wine, actually. And that was also so enriching. I learned such a lot of things. I completed the first two certificates. So if you want to do a full wine master's course, there's only a handful of them in South Africa, I think 20 or 30. You have to do 4 modules. So maybe, we don't know, I can do the other two when I've got time available later on. But also a very enriching experience learning to taste wines blindly, which is also quite difficult. I thought I knew a lot, but I struggled. Very enriching experience. And then the last thing maybe I'll say is reading a lot and learning about what is important in life. So my focus has really been on mindfulness and meaningfulness, and realizing later on when I wanted to re-enter the corporate world, it wasn't so easy to do that, I'll be honest with you. And then also realizing that you know, you should take some of these learnings about meaningfulness and mindfulness to help you through that period. So one of the quotes, I brought that along that I wanted to read to you, which is very useful for me, is to know that I'm not a very patient person. So this meant a lot to me, that patience is not about waiting. It's the ability to keep a good attitude while working hard on your dreams, knowing that the work is worth it. And you will realize that the struggle is not found on the path. It is the path. So with many things in life, I think that we're always sort of looking at the end goal. I want to be at this point in my life or in my career or in my sabbatical even, not enjoying the moment so much. And I know that's a cliche. Again, Dale Carnegie is one of the books that I read. He talks about day-tight compartments. Forget about the past and do not focus so much on the future, but remember today, what it is that you want to do today and achieve today. And as we get older and we've got parents falling away, friends even, you realize how important that is, being mindful in the moment. So I'll stop there. Yeah. That's a mouthful.
No, I mean, I had similar thoughts. For me, it was, I'd read somewhere that you only get 4,000 weeks to live. And I realized towards the end of last year that I'd spent 800 of those weeks for the same company. So it was quite a, I was like, do I really want to spend more time in this, doing this in the same way, you know? I totally get that. I found the books by James Hollis to be very, very worthwhile as well. He writes a lot about the second half of life. You know, you do a lot of, in the first half of your life, you do a lot of achieving. And then in the second half of your life is when you become the person that you want to be. So you're just practicing the first half of your life, and the second half you actually are the person you want to be, and you practice to be that person. So his books were very, very useful to me, just about living an examined life. That was one of the books that I read from him. And totally get the thing about reading. I also listen to a lot of audiobooks. So whenever I'm in the car, I'm listening to an audiobook as well. And you never, as a corporate person, you never have time just to sit, read a book, and to take in the messages, to actually just think about what you are actually reading. And then, because for me, it was always, I always read books that I would then immediately go and apply. Okay, I read how to be more productive, and then I go apply it, but be more productive. So your type of reading changes. And
absolutely.
I read a quote by Maya Angelou the other day that says, at the age of 50, I became the person I was training to be. Okay, so I was, I became that person that I've been trying to be my entire life. Here I am, now I'm that person. And and if you start thinking about the very small amount of time that we actually have, I think you have to be very deliberate about how you want to spend that time. And that for me was the epiphany. It was, how do I want to spend my time?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is it like I was at that point in time, or do I want to spend it in a different way? So if you think back, how long was your sabbatical?
So it was more or less a year.
More or less a year. Yeah. I'm also in the seventh month of a year. It's going so fast.
Yeah.
And if you think back on that, what did you wish you'd done more of or less of from that period?
I did not use the entire period to do what I've described to you now. As I said, I also did a bit of consulting work on the side. And then I started realizing that, you know, I wanted to go back and do something. I wasn't yet ready to retire or only do consulting work. I definitely wanted to go back and do something else. And I think that I spent quite a bit of time towards the end of the sabbatical to obviously find opportunities to re-enter the corporate world. Yes, that ate away at some of my time, and I think maybe I should have left that for a bit later, but be that as it may, that is also part of my personality. I think that I am goal-driven. Also now, you know, for me, having gone through this journey and having learned a lot, some of that is part of me now. I try to practice mindfulness much more as I did in the past. I'm constantly asking myself, you know, whether what I'm doing is adding to that person I want to be. But coupled with that, I also believe I've got a role to play. So if you have that understanding, and it comes from a space of obviously being also a religious person, you do try and understand what is your role in life, why are you here? And if you've been given a certain talent, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, to use that talent in the corporate world, but maybe in a different way than you did before. Because I think before, for me, it was blind ambition, if I might call it that. When I was, I remember vividly, I worked at PricewaterhouseCoopers when I did my MBA, and I wanted to transition out of a attorney's world, if you wish, into a more corporate world. So I did not start off my legal career in a corporate commercial world. I started off as a generalist attorney, as many of us do, you know, depending on what kind of articles you find. But I realized very soon, because I had a corporate degree, a BCom law, that I wanted to work more in corporate law. And for me to be able to make that transition, I thought the MBA would help me, because that would add to the, you know, the financial part of my qualifications. I always loved that, because I worked in my father's business over holidays, so I liked that sort of financial bit. And then worked at PricewaterhouseCoopers before I transitioned into the mining world. So when I say blind ambition, I remember working at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and it's always accountants and lawyers that get employed in the tax department. But for some other reason, the accountants are paid more. And I could never understand that. I think they just believe lawyers are not, you know, as astute. So I had this ambition that I wanted to be paid the same amount of money as my colleagues. So I'm chuckling about it now, but I think at the beginning, you know, I wanted to be successful in my career, and now it's a case of, that was great, but you can do the same kind of thing in a different way. I'll tell you this story about a colleague of mine at De Beers, an older person who I worked with. And I was in this phase of my career, very ambitious, working late evenings on transactions, trying to prove myself. And this person was close to retirement, and he would always come down the corridor in the evenings before he went home around 6 o'clock. And he would knock on my door and have a little chat about how my day was, and just this very friendly, polite person. I always remember that he said to me, you must take time to ask people about their day. And I thought at that point in my career, this is just a waste of time. I'm busy. Now I think back so fondly about him. And I think I'm at that point now where I want to ask people about their day and their weekend. But it took me quite a while to get there.
Yeah, I can identify with so many of the things that you've said. Yeah, it's you get to a point where you realize other things are more important. And how you want to feel at the end of the day, do you want to be completely exhausted and burnt out, or do you want to feel like you actually connected with somebody in that day?
Absolutely.
You know, and made a connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what surprised you about your sabbatical experience? Is there anything that really stood out for you?
Yes, I think I saw that I could also do things that, I think you get very comfortable in your skin in the corporate world, you know, with whatever your achievements are in the corporate world. People can't compete with me because I've done this to perfection. But then some of your friends who perhaps had children and decided to step out of the corporate world to rather take care of their families, they can do other things much better than you. So I learned to bake a fantastic cake, cheesecake, chocolate cake, you name it. And people, whenever I like entertaining friends, my husband is also a very good cook. And we started sort of, you know, he does the cooking, I do the baking. And people were so surprised because I also think that put you in a box, you know, Min can yeah. only do X, you know, she can't bake a cheesecake. No, we can't believe that she baked that. So, you know, stuff like that. Also, interior decorating is quite a hobby of mine. I love going to antique markets and looking for beautiful things for my home. But, you know, not many things. It's more sort of looking at that small thing that you think will fit into a certain corner. So things like that I also spent time on. Still enjoy it until today. Yeah, so it's, I think doing things, Pilates was also becoming quite a passion of mine. I hadn't done Pilates before. I was quite good at sport when I was a child. I actually played tennis for a provincial team. My husband doesn't believe me because I stopped doing that when I started my corporate career. But yes, started doing Pilates in a group and became, you know, quite passionate about that. So that's also something that I've kept up, doing that exercise and keeping yourself healthy. That's also something in the corporate world that you neglect is your personal you know, exercising, eating well, you know, not eating junk food just to get through the day. Yeah, so I think that is something that surprised me, being good at stuff that I thought only other people could do.
So you are married, and you were married when you took a sabbatical. So how did your husband react to you not working or doing your own thing? You know, because like we said earlier, like you at home and everybody else is working and you're doing your own thing. And so how did he react to that?
I think my husband, we actually met, can I just give you this background, during the MBA, and we've got very different personalities. I'm a bit of, you know, OCD, as I said, very, very sort of perfectionist, and everything has to be done right away. And my husband is a much more relaxed person, an engineer that turned into an asset manager. So he was very supportive of me doing this because I think he saw me on my little treadmill every day at work, thinking that she needs to get a bit of a break. So very supportive, and because he's got a different kind of personality than I do, I think he was totally okay with the fact that I took time out. He also said to me something that I'm still thinking about till today, is that I seem to have found my worth in that corporate persona, and I was sometimes afraid that people would not see me as worthy when I did this, and that I should have confidence in the fact that there's different values hidden in my personality outside of only being a corporate person. And that to me was so valuable, because we also become that. We become the person that you said you've been in corporate world for 25 years. You are that person that people see every day. People don't see other aspects of you. And when you take time out and you do other stuff, people see you in a different light. And you yourself see yourself in a different light. And I now firmly believe that there's more to me than that corporate person, and I can contribute in the corporate world still different things, not only my intellect and my project management skills and whatever else people might say about me on LinkedIn I'm good at, but there's much more to me as a person that can add value to other people's lives in a different way.
It was really, really interesting, just because your whole self-worth almost gets tied back into this corporate being that you are. And for me, I absolutely, it was one of the big things for me was I wanted to leave that environment to see who I really was. without being attached to a corporate and a job and whatever. And I felt like it was almost like a challenge. I absolutely had to leave there so that my being and my self-worth wasn't tied to that job. I don't know if it's making sense, but it was.
Yeah,
and I felt absolutely. The only way that I could do that was to jump in the deep end and to do my own thing. I wanted to find my own way and start hustling a little bit and, you know, do my own thing. And yeah, it's been a really interesting ride since the beginning of the year. But it's been so good for me. You always have to think about, if you don't want to spend your time like that, then how do you want to spend your time and when? When are you going to do it? I had this choice between like toughing it out in the corporate world for another 10 years and then retiring at 60 and then doing my own thing. Or do I do it now when I've got the energy, you know, to do all that stuff? And I think it's really important. And for me, it was like a challenge. It was I want to do this now. I want to see who I am when I'm not attached to a big global corporate. So you entered the workplace again.
Yes.
And how was that? Did you go back to something similar or something completely different?
I actually tried to, as I mentioned earlier on, we moved to Cape Town because of a position that my husband obtained here in Cape Town. And at that stage, I was working for Rio Tinto. They were very supportive of me working out of Cape Town because at that stage, I'd worked for them for, I think, four or five years. So they knew my work ethic. Totally fine with me, got a small office in Cape Town for me. But after a while, with the sabbatical, as I said, I wanted to re-enter the world of work and wanted to look for something in Cape Town. Could not find something. It's amazing, you know, I've got quite a bit of business development experience. And I thought I could transition into a different industry, but with that sort of corporate commercial experience, found it very hard and got headhunted then for this role at Vedanta. So ended up doing the same thing basically, but just at a different mining house. And it was quite a different experience in the sense that the work, the kind of legal work and disputes that we were involved in were different from the kind of work that I've done before. So at least from that perspective, you know, it was something different. But every company is obviously different and it's a different culture and a different environment. So I think I was, after having taken the sabbatical, well equipped to handle that kind of environment.
Yeah. And the lessons that you learned during the sabbatical, I call it a sabbatical mindset. Are you carrying those with you and applying them now?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've become more involved with this Stellantombo organization in Stellenbosch, trying to obviously keep up my exercise and health routine. And also the bit about the mindfulness, trying to be that person that speaks to colleagues more and making those real connections, which we sometimes neglect to do because we're so busy with work and emails and meetings, trying to be more mindful. I've also started to be more of an advocate for certain issues in the industry, if I might call it that. You know, I started with public speaking, which I enjoy very much. And usually on these platforms, it's more about, you know, industry issues around sustainability, which is something I would never have done in the past. I would have just focused on my M&A transaction or my refinancing transaction, all about banking law and mining law. Now I'm also interested in industry issues and is the industry really making a difference? I also looked at starting a PhD, but that was put on hold because of work pressure last year, again on a sustainability topic, where I spoke to a professor at UCT who's at the, I think they call it the mining law chair at UCT, around around a sustainability topic. So that focus has changed, you know, only doing sort of the work that you're supposed to be responsible for, as opposed to leaning into more general but important topics that is going to be a conversation point for people for many years to come now with the energy transition.
Do you think you'll take another sabbatical? And if you do, what would you do differently?
I think, you know, short breaks, perhaps not a sabbatical. You know, if you're in between roles, I think that is something useful to do. Yes, it depends on, you know, what happens to my career from here on. I don't think I'll take a year. Maybe, as I said, a shorter break, 2 or 3 months. I think there's certain courses that I'm at this point in time trying to enroll for a non-executive director course to become a certified director. I've been a director on a number of subsidiary companies for the mining houses that I've worked for, but that is obviously in an executive capacity. So if you want to go into the non-executive director space, as some people do at this age, I think there's, you know, some room for learning there. And if you want to do something like that, maybe, you know, take a bit of time off and do that certificate program in one go. Yeah, but no, now I take time out during the year to travel. I think in the past, you ask about taking those experiences into your life after the sabbatical. I do sort of insist on doing that travel in June, July to Europe, taking your proper December break, whereas in the past I would have compromised on in favor of completing some or other transaction at work.
Yeah, I think it's almost like you weaving your sabbatical into your work life now. So it's like you weaving the breaks in. I think you learn that lesson that you actually have to look after yourself. Your body will just break if you keep pushing it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention that we haven't spoken about yet?
I think you have to be courageous to do this. You've mentioned that as well.
Yes.
At this age. I mean, I did it in my middle to late 40s. You have to be quite courageous to do that. And sometimes if the diary is not full and you have the kind of personality that I do, you sometimes ask yourself, was this the right thing? Now that I look back at it and all of the experiences that I've had, it's made me a much more full-rounded person. I stuck to it as you've done. You know, you've got a program and you make it meaningful. But in this day and age, I think the majority of people, especially in the South African work environment, would perhaps be afraid to do that. You know, there's a lot of people that are obviously looking to find suitable jobs. So maybe people say, well, that's a very indulgent thing to do. If you have got the ability to do it, you have got a bit of corporate savings, I would encourage people to do that because we're going to live longer. You can have a career way beyond 60. So if you want to take this sort of break, I think it's well worth it if you're thinking about a long and meaningful life.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And it might be seen as indulgent, but if I think about, for me, it was 10 years in the making. You know, when I decided I was going to take the sabbatical, I couldn't just at that point go, okay, now I'm going. It took quite a lot of planning and saving and all of that to be able to eventually do this. So I fully believe a lot of people can do this, but if you have the discipline and you can do the planning and if you're lucky enough to be able to save, then you can do it. And I think it's so important for your own self-growth to take time off to actually discover who you are. Otherwise, you end up 80 years old and you've never really reflected on who you are and what you're doing here.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for making your time available and speaking with me today. Thanks, Admin.
Thanks, Beatrice.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.